Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
ED.
Yo.
It's good to see that you're not in a food coma and able to join us here on this post Thanksgiving edition of the Believe in 49. I speak for myself too. We made it, huh? Mama, we made it.
Hey, you know, I'm just trying to, we made it. Let's just leave it at that.
This is the Believe in 49ers podcast on Believe. He is Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I'm Rashawn Haylock. Plenty to get to on this show. Niners, welcome in the New Orleans Saints. Who that nation coming to the Field of Jeans? We'll take a look at that. We'll get ED's keys. Also talk a little bit more about the offense, running game in particular, something that I've been pondering here of late. So we'll get into all of that. As always, we want to encourage you to continue to download, subscribe, rate, and review. We're located wherever you find your podcast. If there's a like or a follow button on your particular podcast subscription service, go ahead, hit that like or follow button. Hit us up on social media. On Twitter, I'm at R. Haylock. He is at underscore Eric Davis underscore. And on Instagram, I'm at Watch Ray Ray. He is at ED25. As always, we are brought to you by the fine folks at Believe. Look, whatever you want, Believe's got it for you. All right, there's all kind of ways to play. No, not Believe, it's Bet Online. I do that every week. We are brought to you by We're brought to you by Believe, but we're also brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online, look, they got you covered. They got all the latest odds. Whatever games you want to play, whatever teams you want to play, whatever sports, whatever it is to your liking, Bet Online has you covered. Go ahead over to the website and use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get 50% on your welcome bonus. Believe, right here on the Believe in 49ers podcast. The Believe is the promo code, and that's right here on the Believe in 49ers podcast. That's Bet Online. That was not good. We totally butchered that, but you guys get the idea by now. Go ahead, Bet Online. Go ahead, play. Do what you got to do. he is Super Bowl champion. I think I spoke too early about the whole food coma thing. Man, he is Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I'm Rashawn Haylock. So ED, we talked about the offense a little bit earlier in the week, and the thought, at least for me, and you sort of co-sign this as well. What we saw Monday should be the standard, right? I don't want to go as far as to say the floor, but what we saw on Monday should be the standard from an offensive perspective. Defensively, they've been doing their thing, right? They, you know, three straight games, not allowing a point in the second half, which interestingly enough, Niners have won a season high three straight games. They ride that three game winning streak going into this game here against New Orleans. Offensively, Elijah Mitchell's back, and we haven't seen a whole lot of him, especially in the first half. And I don't know if this is by design. Like, is Kyle kind of using, you know, Christian just to kind of soften up the D a little bit, and then Eli just comes in second half and just gives you, you know, that burst where he's picking up just these huge chunks. You know, we saw that a little bit the week prior, and of course we saw that on Monday night as well. What did you get from that? Is Kyle still just trying to figure it out, or do you think there's a method to this madness here in the way he's using his running backs?
I think he's trying to figure it out. Kyle goes with the hot hand. Since being the head coach and the play caller for the 49ers, we've seen him do that. There's no rhyme or reason as to why a certain guy is going to get his touches, when he's going to get his touches. Kyle just decides this is the guy this week. Now, that could be based on the scheme he's going against, the particular players he's going against, the toughness that he sees within that line and the type of runs that he wants. And like, okay, this particular player is better running this particular play, which is going to work best against this particular scheme. It could be one of those things. I don't know. But you know, you see McCaffrey early on, and then Mitchell's coming in, and maybe he sees it like, as you just said, I'm going to use McCaffrey to tenderize them. And then now that they are a little tender, I'm just going to go ahead and just, you know, bludgeon them with, you know, with 25. That could be the situation. I don't know. But also, it's keeping both of those guys fresh. Both of those guys, you know, you're utilizing them. They're making plays. They're having big runs, you know, big catches, making plays. And it keeps the defense off pace because they are somewhat different style runners. So whether you get if he decides you're going to give a guy's going to get 10 touches, as long as the guy's not out of it mentally because he's not getting his touches early on. I know like Frank Gore used to always tell me he needed the ball. He needed to get hit. He needed to be a part of it. He wasn't one that wanted to sit around and watch and just do it. I know just playing, it was real hard just being a nickel and being a third down guy because I was like the flow of the game and everything. It was that I was accustomed to the flow of the game and all the plays and everything that's happening and the run plays and running to the linemen and all of these type things, as opposed to just coming out on the field on third down and you got to make this one play and then coming back and standing around and watching the game because it's just different. So as long as a player can handle that, then I don't have a problem with it as long as they're productive. Man, it's hard to score 30 points. It's hard to score 30 points. So the combination, the formula is working. I don't think you're ever going to have an offensive guy that feels like he's getting the ball enough, regardless of position. They're all going to want the ball more. That's just the way it is. But if you can mix it up and get the production that they've been getting these last few weeks, I'm 100% down for it because that is what this team should look like. Give me 30, play good defense. That should be the expectation of this defense, of this team moving forward because it's that type club.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about it. And that was – and this goes back pre-McCaffrey trade, right? That was sort of my hang up because we just were not seeing it, right? And, you know, it's not like all of a sudden McCaffrey comes here and all of a sudden this team has weapons. Like, they still – like, there were still weapons there, right? Like, obviously, yeah. You bring in McCaffrey and that's another big weapon, another one you have in your arsenal. But to not see that materialize from an offensive perspective, you know, earlier on in the season, that's the part that was maddening to me. And so now it seems like, and look, and I think maybe this goes back to what you were saying in terms of why they initially made this trade, right? Obviously, Kyle feels like, you know, he needed a guy there to run his offense in the backfield.
Yeah.
They weren't getting that for whatever reason from whoever, right? From Jeff or, you know, whoever was getting the rock.
Well, the guy that I think he was trying to build it around, Mitchell, I mean, he's young and he couldn't stay, it hasn't been healthy.
Yeah.
So he, you know, so he had to go out and get someone that he thinks could be that guy as opposed to developing into that guy. Because Mitchell, truth be told, he can't become that guy. I think he can, but he can't become that guy until he plays consistently.
Yeah. I mean, he's really good when he's in there, but like you said, there's a lot of time where he's just not in there.
Yeah, which you know, that is going to stunt your development. And I get it. Kyle saying I need a guy that I feel like can give me what I need. And McCaffrey has proven during his tenure in the league that he could be that type guy for him. And we see it already.
Yeah, he's definitely has come in and provided that punch from the running standpoint and then the versatility as well, being able to line him up in the slot. Obviously, we saw that one touchdown when he went up and high pointed the ball against the Rams, which I know you love so much, Ed. We're seeing it. We're seeing it. When it's so, Niners have had back to back national TV games, right? And I always love when they get these national TV games because it kind of gives me at least a sort of peek inside. Like it's one thing to see it, like to feel like. To see it from where you are, but it's another thing to kind of get someone else's view of it, right? Like from the outside looking in, so to speak, right? Like we're here, we talk Niners every week, right? But to, you know, see an outsider, hear an outsider sort of talk about it the way they do during the national television broadcast is always very intriguing to me. And it sort of got me to thinking, right? Ever since the Rams game, which I thought was way too fast for the national media to be going where they went. And it was somewhat scary to me because obviously you go through the whole bye week and the Niners are just hearing just how great they are, right? And the team definitely didn't look that way, right? They didn't look like that team, at least not yet. Starting to trend that way. I say all that to say, when you big picture, looking at the NFC now. First of all, who's the team in the NFC right now? Who would you say is the, is it
Well,
Philly?
Philly's first place in the NFC, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you've played 9 games, right? Or 10 games or something like that, if you're in first place, how can I say you're not one of those teams?
Okay.
So you got to give Philly. I mean, anybody who doesn't, that's crazy. You can't say Philly's not real when they are. All they're doing is beating everybody they have to play.
Yeah, they just got tripped up the previous Monday to by the Washington team, the Commanders. I think that's the first time I've ever said Commanders. That's interesting.
I don't think I've said it yet.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
because I've been calling them Washington forever, so
yeah.
it's easy for me. Yeah.
So, I guess that said, where do you see this Niners team right now in the big picture, right? Like obviously Philly's there. When you look, I'm just
Yep.
talking NFC right now.
Yeah.
Philly's there. Dallas,
Dallas is
I
there.
believe, is there.
Philly's there. Dallas there. Minnesota is there.
Minnesota's a tough
Minnesota's
one,
there.
right? Like
Tampa's
I
there. Tampa's there.
and Tampa as well.
Yeah, Tampa is there. Reason being, Tampa, at regardless of what happens, don't count Brady out. Don't count Brady out. And don't count out that Todd Bowles can get his defense to have a performance when necessary. He's a good defensive coach, good defensive mind. So I wouldn't count them out because of that. But now a threat to the Niners, if the Niners continue to play that way, no, they're not a threat to the Niners. The team that no one wants to think about, and you didn't mention right there, is actually Seattle. Everybody's forgetting about the fact that Seattle is, where they are, and they're winning ball games. Nobody wants to give them any respect because of Geno, but what Seattle does and how they are winning is a formula that will convert across the league in playoffs. They get there. Reason being, the teams that, so if you're getting into like who do you, the Niners have to worry about or whatever, because someone asked me this question yesterday. And I just said, this is the thing. If we're saying right now, playoffs started, the way the Niners have played their last 3 games, Philly, Seattle, those would be my two biggest concerns.
Philly and Seattle, your two biggest
Philly and
concerns right now.
Seattle. Why? Because Minnesota's not tough enough. Minnesota can score. Minnesota can do all these things. But if you're not tough, you're gonna get beaten up by the Niners. You're gonna get beaten up. I don't think they're tough enough. Always goes back to Dallas. I'm Dallas. What did I say last year? Dallas can score. They can do all these things. But the way they're built, they're not tough enough to beat the Niners. And I said that going into that game last, like they're going to bludgeon them. They're just it's
I know. I remember you saying that, but do you think that that's still the case this season? Like you don't think there's been sort of a turning of the tide, so to
I
speak?
think they are tougher. I don't think that Dallas can do what Atlanta did to the Niners. I don't think that they can get because it's not about you punching. It's about how you're going to react while I'm punching you. And Dallas, when you punch and like, there are teams that are tough like that. People say they're tough, like no, they're front runners. And if they get off to a good start, that's just how it is. I think Philly is a tough enough team to where they can, the fight, if it's prolonged, they will keep fighting. And they are good enough at the skill positions to where they can make you make, they can take advantage of your mistakes. They can force mistakes defensively. They can make plays offensively. That's a team that can do it. Another team, dude, they are, it's the way they are coached. They are coached. It's Seattle. They don't mind being in a fight. They expect to be in a fight. They expect it to be ugly. They want it ugly. That's how he coaches them, man. Yeah. So that's always an issue. But I think the Niners are built for that as well. You just got to just get some, because early on they were in those and they weren't winning. They weren't closing them. Now they've been trying, they found a way that second half to, you know, turn the knob and apply the pressure a little more and win it. But yeah, I don't think Minnesota can do that. I don't think Dallas is built to last that type of fight. And that's it, Tampa is a team, and I threw Tampa in there, and it's because of my conversation yesterday. I know Tampa is tough enough to do that. Now, the question is, can they get things straight before you get to that time? But they are definitely tough, because I know the guys that that they have there with Brady leading the charge, with that head coach Todd Bowles, it's that type of mentality. So that's how I look at it. Because the Niners, I mean, you're in the playoffs right now. And the way you built, those would be the threats to me if I really had to look at it.
Yeah, I think for me, Philly, for multiple reasons, right? I think the quarterback is playing extremely well. I'd even put him in that MVP conversation, and he can hurt you with both, right? Niners mm-hmm. have shown the ability. Well, I mean, all teams have issues with these mobile quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. And they got more than one dude on the back end, or a receiver, I should say. Obviously, Brown is there, but I mean, I think very highly of Devontae. So there's that. And you flip it over to the other side, I mean, they just stacked up on that front line too, right? I mean, you bring in a Linval, you bring in a Sue, like, you know, so that those are moves that tell me like they're going.
Well, they're trying to bring in the toughness. You see what I'm talking about?
Exactly, right?
You know, this is a team, and this is a team that's trying to build a team that says, I know, looking at things that are happening, who I have to deal with. Because regardless of what's happening, I don't think there are clubs out there that aren't expecting to have to deal with the Niners in the playoffs. And you're not going to beat them if you're not tough. You're simply not going to beat them. So I think that's what that's a move. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make your team tougher.
Yeah, and Seattle, like you mentioned, no one's talking about them. I kind of overlooked them too, but I did see them earlier this season. They're one of the more impressive teams that I've seen in person this season. Seattle is. And so, and then you got the history there, right, between Pete and Kyle. And Pete obviously, you know, has owned that matchup. So there's that. I have seen more of a toughness. I've been very impressed by Dallas's defense. Last year, I thought, you know, they're a little bit opportunistic and this, that, and the other. As long as you don't turn the ball over, this, that, and the other. There's not as much of that to that defense this year. But to me, they're scarier this year from a defensive perspective.
I agree. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And so that's one team that I just like keep going back to, like, man, this Dallas team. I don't know. Like,
oh yeah. No, I like that. But see, the problem is the other side of the ball. It's the same reason why Green Bay can never beat the Niners, because Aaron Rodgers, the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, we know he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play this game. When he gets hit in the beak, he's different. It's just different. The offensive scheme, everything they do is just different. And the Niners just beat them up. They're not tough enough. And that's what I'm saying. The Niners are tough. When I say tough, it's not just the offense. It's every phase.
Yeah.
They are tough. The only thing about the Niners that scares me right now moving forward is their teams. They're not tough on teams. This ain't the Tony Montana crew. That crew, the Tony Montana, I was talking to CJ yesterday. That crew, that's they were trying to bruise you every kickoff, every punt, every field goal block, so it's across the board. Offensively, it was pound you. You see that in the run game for this team, for the Niners. I don't see that in Dallas. That's what I'm saying. It's if you're not tough across the board, you're going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
When the Niners, if the Niners are clicking, and I have to assume you get in the playoffs, you're going to be clicking. If they're clicking, you got to deal with the execution, but you got to deal with it while you're getting smacked in the face. And that's what I'm not sure Dallas has still made that, you know, I don't think they've made that type of transformation offensively. I just don't, I don't see them being tough like that offensively. But let me be quiet.
This is great. This is the Believe in 49ers podcast on Believe. We'll get ED's keys. We got the Niners and the Saints coming up this week. We'll get ED's keys right after this from Butcher Box. All right, so you got the Niners hosting the Saints. New Orleans, Who Dat Nation, comes into the Field of Jeans. 4-7 on the season. Niners 6-4. That one will be at home at the Field of Jeans. And obviously, Niners riding a very impressive four-game winning streak here. And I think this is a very important game, not only because it's the next game, but because of the game that's behind it, right? And that of course is Miami coming into town, and so I think this is a huge opportunity at home for the Niners to take care of business, to further extend this streak and continue this high level of play that they've been at over the course of the last 3 weeks. And for that, now ED, we send it over to you for your keys. What do you got this week?
Well, I think you just ride the wave, as you were saying. Defensively, continue to do what you're doing. You got an Andy Dalton-led offense that shouldn't scare you, but you also have to understand that he's a capable pro quarterback and he can make plays. But you make certain that you take advantage of what you've been doing. Apply the pressure. Allow Andy to do the things that he has always done. There's a reason why Andy Dalton has only made it to a certain level, is because he will give you opportunities. This defense has been taking advantage of the opportunities that they are creating for themselves. They're creating opportunities with that defensive pressure. I expect DeMeco to be able to adjust and do the things that he's done. Of course, they're going to get a drive in, but make your adjustments and do the things that are necessary. It cannot be one of those days that you had versus the Chiefs in the Field of Jeans where you just couldn't figure it out. I don't expect that to happen against a Dalton-led team. Offensively, guess what, people? You got a yard after the catch quarterback. He's a yak guy. Then let him. Let the boys eat. Let him eat up that yak yardage. Continue to spread the ball around. Make the defense of the Saints have to figure out what's going on. Make them figure out, as Trent Williams said, I'm tipping off the play, and Trent was so right about that. It doesn't matter if you know a run is coming. You got to know which run, and then you still have to stop it. That's it. It doesn't matter. I can tell you what's coming. I can tell you what defense I'm in. I can tell you what offense I'm in. You still got to stop it. And that's what they need to do. Play with that mindset and execute the way they've been executing the last 3 weeks. Utilize the weapons. This is, again, it's about the coaching. It's about the scheme. It's about putting the players in position to be best and most effective. And that's on Kyle. The only thing that can slow this offense down is Kyle not utilizing them properly. He has the pieces. We can't blame offensive line. We can't blame skill positions, because everyone has shown that when given the opportunity and correctly scheme, that they can execute. And that's what I expect to happen in this game.
Those are ED's keys here on the Believe in 49ers podcast. It'll be the Niners hosting the Saints, 1:25 p.m. local kickoff. That one will be on Fox. Kevin Kugler, Mark Sanchez, Laura Oakman on the call for you if you're into that sort of thing. I learned Monday night Troy Aikman may not necessarily be a big fan of, you know, how they time the release from the quarterback, how long he had it before, you know, he got it out. Maybe a little overrated stat there to old Troy. Hey, everybody's the
numbers
got their
lie.
Thing. Everybody's got their thing, right?
Numbers lie. Like you say, quick decision. But was it the right decision? We have these discussions all the time. Like you talking about the yak yardage. All of his yards come off a yak. Well, Joe Montana made the Hall of Fame off a yak.
Right. 71% of Jimmy's yards came off yak on Monday night. Let's go for 75 and 300 yards in a win against the Saints. Huh? Why not? Huh? Who that? Andy Dalton, ironically enough, I will always, this will always be a part. I was gung-ho about Andy Dalton, that Niners should have drafted him over Kaepernick. Not sure if that was, I was right on that one, but nonetheless, every time I see
Well,
Andy
I
Dalton,
mean, we'll see in time. We'll see in time.
every time I see Andy Dalton, I'm like, man, I was pumped that the Niners were gonna draft him, and then the name Colin Kaepernick flashed across the screen, and I was like, wait, what? Who? The Pistol, Nevada. But of course, got us to a Super Bowl, NFC Championship, couple NFC Championship games. So that's that. Partner, all the best to you and yours. Hope you guys continue to enjoy this holiday weekend. All of you out there as well, thank you so much for listening. Continue to download, subscribe, rate, and review, or locate it wherever you find your podcast. If there's a like or follow button on your particular podcast subscription service, go ahead and hit that like or follow button. Hit us up on social media. I'm at R Haylock. On Twitter, he is at underscore Eric Davis underscore. And on Instagram, I am at Watch Ray Ray. He is at ED25. So from a partner, Super Bowl champion Eric Davis, I'm Rashawn Haylock. This has been the Believe in 49ers podcast on Believe. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.